I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Chris Moore! Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Even if your speaker is sort of stupid, you can ask it to play WFAN, and, you know, you never know. You might have learned something overnight. So you got that going for you, which is nice. Final hour of this program. I know that kills you. Evan Roberts around the corner. And he will take you through the afternoon on this day before 2020. Pat Boyle, Paul Rosenberg, other side. They've done fine yeoman's work today. As we heard Dave Gettleman's press conference, we went over some of Adam Gase from yesterday and tried to figure out how we're going to go forward here in 2020 around the corner. You do have, including games going on right now, 5 bowl games today. And 1, 2, 3, 4 tomorrow to look forward to. Some better ones tomorrow, including Wisconsin-Oregon and Georgia-Baylor with Matt Rhule and Alabama-Michigan. So some decent games tomorrow, some fun games to watch, and some pretty good talent and some future NFL talent in those games. We promised you Ralph Vacchiano, and we've got him from SNY to talk a little bit about Gettleman's press conference, maybe a little on Gase as well. But you've had an hour or so to digest it, an hour and a half to digest it, Ralph. What are your thoughts about Dave Gettleman? Where did he fall short, and where did he come through today for you?
Yeah, I'm going to need a little bit more than an hour and a half to digest that. There's a lot of stuff in there. I think he was in a tough spot because you can't defend 9-23. Some of his moves and things are hard to defend. Obviously, he believes in what he's done, and I think he tried to sell that, but I think he knew he was in a situation where there was almost nothing he could say that would satisfy everybody because it's a bad situation. He did say, and he believes it, and I know the Giants owners believe it, that the seeds of a better future are planted, that his young players are going to blossom and everything is going to be good, and I get why nobody believes that, but he clearly does.
The lack of specificity really stuck out to me in that, you know, he gave you very little concrete to build on for what he's looking for from a coach, for what the staff will look like, from the style of play that they're going to play, for who looks good, which players are, does he look at as cornerstones, where does he think the improvement needs to be most. He really didn't answer anything for the Giant fan that would make them think 2020 is going to be much better, other than to say, trust me, our younger players will get better.
Yeah, and, you know, we could go through all the young players and which ones are good and which ones, you know, are iffy, but, yeah, he basically only mentioned he has a strong belief in Daniel Jones and he's got the franchise quarterback. Obviously, he loves Saquon Barkley. The rest is, you know, it's a crapshoot. I think he believes he has the building blocks, the young puppies, as he called it, on defense. They're Dexter Lawrence, Sam Beal, DeAndre Baker, but you can't stand on what they've done so far because they haven't played well. And I asked about the offensive line. He knows there's a ton of work to do there. At best, they have two pieces, Will Hernandez, and they really like Nick Gates, who would probably be the left tackle or right tackle next year, excuse me. But beyond that, you can't even look at them and say they had great years. So I'm sure that some of that was purposeful, because if he went out and said, I really love DeAndre Baker, he's going to be great, the follow-up question would have been, well, why did he look so terrible?
Right. No, I understand that he has some handcuffs on, and when you're 4-12 and you've had the tough year that they've had and you don't have a coach, you're definitely going to have some handcuffs on. The other thing that was interesting, though, was, you know, you ask him about free agency, and you give him a number, and the first thing he says is, we're going to put $20 million in a passbook savings account. You know, that's not an answer. That it may well be true, and it's fine, and it's a theory, and it's all good, but Giant fans want more than that.
Yeah, and this is interesting because John Mara kind of alluded to it, too. They're going to have, they could have as much as $90 million in cap room, depending on who they cut, what they do. You know, John Mara was asked the other day about, you know, the philosophy of building through the draft and all of these free agents, and the free agent money, and he basically said, you know, you can get burned by overspending in free agency. Look at what they did in, I think it was 2017, where they went and got Damon Harrison and Olivier Vernon and all that. They got 1 year of a team that was lucky to make the playoffs, and then it all imploded and the contracts were terrible. So I think he doesn't want, he didn't say it, but I think that answer about, you know, you put some aside in savings, you do this, you got to be careful. I think what it's, what they're hinting at is, we've got all this money. Don't expect them to be enormous players where they go out and get the best at several positions. They're going to be careful because they don't believe that picking off the best free agents is the way to build the team. They want their core to be the draft. That's what, if Dave Gettleman is here 2-3 years from now, it's going to be because his drafts have worked out, and they're basically trying to tell you, don't get too excited about free agency. This may not be what you think.
SNY's Ralph Facchiano joining us on the Giants and a little on the Jets as well before we finish with him. The coaching search, they admitted yesterday with Mara that they have failed the last two times in McAdoo and Shurmur. What sense do you get of evaluation changes they may make this time around, and how does Gettleman fit into the next head coach of the Giants?
Well, historically, the coaching searches have been a group effort. You know, John Mara has been in on the interviews. Steve Tisch comes in at some point. The general manager is obviously in on it. You know, it's not Dave Gettleman's call. It's not John Mara's. I mean, in the end, it's John Mara's call, but they'll all be in on it. How they evaluate, I think they're looking for something a little different this time. And they're willing to look in places they wouldn't have been willing in years past. They were not... They've never been in love with the idea of a college coach, for example. And I don't think they've pulled a coach out of college since 1954. They always want a guy with a lot of NFL experience, somebody who's been around, you know, 5-6 years as an assistant at the very least, so they know the league. You know, the fact that Matt Rhule, with 1 year in the NFL, and at Temple and Baylor otherwise, is the leading candidate tells you that they're willing to think outside of their narrow box, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, I do too.
They're also, yeah, and it's it, and you know, there's a report just before we came on that they're going to interview the special teams coach of the Patriots. I have no idea if he's going to be a good coach or not, but that's something they might not have done in the past. So they're willing to be open to other criteria, which can only help, because obviously the last two times didn't work at all.
No, and look, things change. We watch it in baseball and how the analytics in that game have changed, and we watch it in the NBA, and we watch it in every sport. So, you know, the NFL now features some real interesting dynamic quarterbacks that are very elusive. Those guys didn't succeed that much 10 years ago. Now they seemingly are.
Yeah.
So things change. There's no question about it. You got to change with it. The thing I thought was missing today, and I admit, as you just alluded to, it's very difficult to provide optimism when you don't have a coach, you're 4-12, you haven't drafted yet, and you haven't had free agency, so I get that. But I thought they'd try a little harder to say, you know, we're exhausted by this poorness in recent years, and we are going to set out to do some things, and here are some of them. They really stayed away from that completely.
Yeah, you know, you got a little bit more of the emotion part of it from John Mara yesterday, who really seemed beaten down by the losing. He didn't give you a lot of specifics either. But, yeah, I would have preferred, and some of this was the line of questioning. I mean, Dave Gettleman was really grilled. He hadn't spoken since August, so
right,
he was grilled on a lot of past mistakes and things. There wasn't a lot of, okay, well, what are you looking for in free agency? What's your top priority? I would have preferred more time for those questions and to hear some answers. You know, one of the questions I asked him was about the offensive line, and he admitted that it hasn't been what he wanted. Missing from that answer was, well, what are you going to do about it? You know, where are you going to find your left tackle? Where are you going to find this? You know, I know from talking to people in the Giants organization, one of their big offseason priorities is to find that stud pass rusher, you know, the Michael Strahan type guy who changes the way teams play you. We haven't heard that publicly from them. So, yeah, I think fans, I'm all for accountability. I'm all for fans getting information from the team. They don't have to say, we are going after this guy. But I think fans deserve to hear, here's the plan in place. you have no reason to trust me, but let me at least lay it out for you what I'm going to do.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for that I didn't get, and that left me a little empty because I thought, yeah. You know, the more you lose, look, the more you lose, the more transparent you have to be. It's just sort of the way it works in pro sports, is the more you lose, the more people are looking for answers. What did you make of the Jets' whole deal and the Meta Bell deal and all that's going on over there?
I know there's a lot of tension there at the moment. I honestly, because I was so caught up in the coaching search, I wasn't out there and I didn't follow it completely. But I will say this, and I guess there's some question over the intent of the Le'Veon Bell answer from Adam Gase.
Right.
I think one of the first things you learn as someone in that position, as a head coach, as any public figure, nobody cares if you don't like the questioner. Nobody cares if you don't like the questioner or the premise. It's your answer that matters. And that's what's going to, especially nowadays, that's what's going to go viral and play over and over and over again. So even if, you know, somebody he just hated said to him, you know, what about Le'Veon Bell? He's got to have a better answer than that. Before I saw the answer, before I knew anything else, and my first thought was, oh my gosh, that's terrible. He can't say that. So, I think he should know by now. He's in his fourth year as a head coach. He has to learn that, you know, it doesn't matter how you feel about the people talking to you. It doesn't matter anything else. Your answer is what matters. That's what's going to play. And he probably should have offered a little more support to Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, and he knew the question was coming. You know, that's what always bothers me. It's not like you don't know the question is coming. So prepare yourself for it before you open that mic and jump into the water. You know, make sure you know how to swim. And it really didn't seem like he did. Do you look at it as at all a deterrent to free agents coming here? Like, Gase is rough and abrasive. And as I just mentioned, when you lose, you can't be that way. When you win, you can do whatever you want. But when you lose, it's more important, you know, how you treat players, what you say about them, all the other things that you try to bring into your favor, all the intangibles, to get a player, a free agent that's going to be rich one place or rich in another, to choose your team. Does that hurt him?
It could, you know, especially if the losing continues, because nobody wants to go play for a guy they don't like and lose at the same time. So, and definitely players talk. They know. So if Adam Gase gets a bad reputation, or any coach does, players will hear about it. My feeling is players will always go for the money, for the situation. If here's a chance to start and get the most money, I'm going to go there. I want to win and all of that. You know, I covered the Tom Coughlin years when the players for the first 3 years hated him. And they told all their friends that they hated him. And they were miserable with the rules, the fines and all of that. And you know what? Free agents came, they won, and then free agents kept coming. So in the very end of the discussion with Adam Gase will be, if they start to win, people are going to want to come play for them because that's what they want to do. They want to make money and they want to play and win games.
Yeah, I think that's a big factor. I don't know if it's changed a little bit as the money gets greater and greater. You see players like even, you know, Kirk Cousins decided to go to the Vikings instead of the Jets. Probably thought he had a better chance to win there. I don't know if we're going to see more of that, Ralph, just because the money is so big. I can be rich here or I can be rich there. I'm going to choose there because of this.
You saw it with Anthony Barr last year, who had a better offer from the Jets, went back to the Vikings too. Look, guys will have, especially the top guys with options, they will have their individual preferences. And yeah, if you've got a similar deal right now from the Baltimore Ravens or the Jets, you're probably going to the Baltimore Ravens because from the outside, it looks like a better run franchise. John Harbaugh is much better liked. You have a better chance to win. The Jets obviously have to change that perception. They're battling that every day, and 7-9 doesn't change that. It's the same with keeping their own free agents. I think when they start talking about Jamal Adams' future, the perception of the Jets is going to have to change, but the only way it does is if and when they start winning.
Yeah, so it's chicken and the egg, and the egg is in their face at the moment. Exactly right. It's in their face right now. Bell. What about Bell? Do you expect him to be back? What is your gut feeling?
I think there's a chance he'll be back, but I don't think it will be for lack of effort. I really don't think he fits well into what the Jets are trying to do, that, you know, if they can get rid of his contract, get a draft pick, I think Adam Gase would prefer to go with a running back by committee, a couple of guys to split that duty. I mean, the fact that they went this entire season and could not figure out how to use him. You could blame some of it on the offensive line. You could blame some of it on him, but there was a lot of scheme issues in there as well. I really do think they're going to listen to offers in the offseason. If anything is close to good, they'll trade him. But just the way the contract is set up, they're going to have to eat some money, and there just might not be a deal out there. They might have to sort of swallow their pride, bring him back, and try to figure it out.
Ralph, enjoy that offseason. Happy New Year to you. Thanks for the insight, and things can probably only get better, so let's look at it that way.
You would hope so. I can't imagine they will get worse, but, you know, there's a whole other year to figure that out.
Thanks, Ralph. Appreciate it.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Ralph Vacchiano, SNY, giving us the scoop on the Giants press conference with Dave Gettleman and the lowdown on Adam Gase and yesterday's press conference there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.